once adorned the plain. It was down by the shades of Lochaber I met with this wonderful name. Her voice was so sweet and so pleasing, these beautiful notes she did sing, and the innocent flower of the forest their love unto her they did bring. Well, it been then the first time I met her, my heart it did leap with surprise, and I thought that she could be no mortal but an angel that fell from the skies. Her hair it resembled gold tresses, her skin was as white as the snow, and her lips were as red as the roses that bloom around Loch Erin shore. When I heard that my love was eloping, these words unto her I did say: oh, take me to your habitation, for Cupid has led me astray. Forever I'll keep the commandments, they say that it is the best plan. Fair maids who do yield to men's pleasures, the scriptures do say they are wrong. Oh Mary, don't accuse me of your weakness, for treachery I do disown. I will make you a lady of splendor, if with me this night you come home. Day the lamp of great Aladdin, his rings and his genie, that's more. I would talk to him all for two.
All right, hey, welcome to Catch the Flavor Radio. This is my final show. I'm Judd. I'm joined by Judy, as well as Tyrone. And we're going to have just a bit of Texas Flood by Stevie Ray Vaughan. And we're going to discuss, Judy's going to interview me, and we're going to discuss the hurricane. So stick around. Have a good rest of your hour. We'll be right back.
Flooding down.
Alrighty, we are back here on Catch the Flavor. I'm Judd, joined on the flanker microphone.
Judy.
And in studio we have...
Tyrone.
Alright, and we are going to talk about Hurricane Irma. That was the most recent thing that's happened. And, Tyrone, you've lived in Toronto your whole life. Have you ever seen anything like this? You ever been in an earthquake, anything
no,
comparable?
I've been in, like, many hurricanes here, but nothing really? That's even comparable to
what many to hurricanes?
We've had a couple storms here that they've called offshoots of hurricanes, but, you know, it's all small stuff with billboards flying in the air, but right. No, like, buildings getting their glass smashed out and floods
no
everywhere.
Looting.
No
unfortunately
looting.
For us.
You know, it's interesting, actually, you bring up Toronto. We had a blackout once, a long time ago. I think it was 2005
right, I remember
or 6
that.
Or 7.
Yeah, it was the summertime,
and
right?
I was at Dufferin, heading down here to Regent Park, and I walked the whole way, and there was free food as far as you could walk because all the freezers were melting, right?
Wow.
So all the people working in the restaurants were actually cooking outside free food. They weren't even charging it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's
and,
so unkind of them.
And then there was like people riding bikes, giving away glow sticks and stuff. And I was like, there was no looting. The
oh
only
my
thing
gosh.
That people broke into was the pool to go skinny dipping.
Yeah.
That's all I saw. Other than that, there was like, I didn't see any criminal activities going on.
That's a very just, Canadian thing to do.
Yeah. And everyone was just like, wow, you can finally see the stars.
Wow. That's so
the
nice.
Blackout, I want to say, is the closest, but it's the farthest from it.
Yeah.
The farthest from it.
No, but I mean, that's the closest I think I've been to is just having no power. I mean, if you look at the devastation, Hurricane Irma left like 6.5 million Floridians without power.
Floridians?
What's a...
People from Florida.
Oh!
I thought
it was like a electrical...
For,
yeah. Okay, anyway, so Irma's left 6.5 million people from Florida without power, and so if you look at it from space, it literally looks like, I don't know.
A vortex?
No, not even, it's dark.
Oh,
there's like
a
nothing
darkness.
There. Yeah, I don't know if anyone's ever seen those pictures of like what it would look like if the world turned on its lights. Mm. You know, it shows, you know, certain
oh,
populations
okay. So
are...
Like- There's no lights on there.
There's a
There's
few.
No electricity, kind of, in a sense. That's what the whole map is all about.
I would imagine, yeah, it's kind Ugh. Of ridiculous. Anyway, I mean, could you imagine 6.5 million people is Chicago or Toronto plus a million and a half.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff.
But
I saw an image that was interesting on social media. It was just a picture of, like, the day after tomorrow. Have you seen this one where it has
right,
the
movie.
Three hurricanes
yeah.
on, like, the screen?
Yeah.
And they compared it to now. It's identical.
Wow.
So it's like, this is one of the
Prophetic.
Worst storms that's ever happened in our recorded history.
It actually is. According to the official Florida weather station or weather alerts, it says that this is a record flooding. It's 59 feet.
Woo!
At 60 feet, God. 61 feet, yeah. So the flood is, so this alert is just issuing a warning about flooding. So not only are they going to be facing a hurricane, there's going to be, of course, flooding.
Yeah.
Which is insane. But then there was some looting, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that doesn't really affect people too much unless there's that place called St. Martin where people were actually looting homes.
Yeah.
Like with weapons. But the army's been called down there, too.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah. I mean, if people are just robbing, like, a regular
but why,
like, Foot Locker.
Mm-hmm. There's no danger to a person. It's just merchandise,
right? You know, they have enough
right?
insurance, I think, for that. But
why is it that the cultures are different? Why are people looting houses in St. Martin?
I think it's just an isolated place where I think if any place became lawless in a place that has lots of poverty, I think more.
Hmm.
I think more than anywhere else.
But don't they have stores to loot? This is the purpose of a store.
It's scary. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the question is, and we were asking earlier, it's like, what would you do in the apocalypse? Like, or similar situations like this where you knew your building was going to be completely covered with water around it. What would you take from a store? Would you take anything from a store?
Why I would take food.
Why are people taking TVs and shoes?
Yeah.
Like,
I would not take those things. First of all, if I was taking shoes...
Pasta.
Yeah. Or, pasta, sushi, maybe.
I'm already tired, right? So carrying a TV, like it's been a long week. We're not carrying TVs.
Yeah.
But not just the moral reason. Just like, are you insane? Like, I haven't
eaten. It's like a survival thing, yeah. Right? I think you gotta reserve your energy for something else.
Unless you're trying to sell it off because you need to pay because you have no insurance. Because
right, you know, that's
because that was a whole big thing.
That actually might be possible.
Or at least the idea of leaving, right? People are like, why don't you leave? Why don't you stay with relatives? And, you know, not everyone has relatives. Not everyone has, like, get in your car and drive. What car are you talking about?
That reminds me of Toronto, the ice storm.
Right.
People lost all their power. And our mayor said, Rob Ford, he said, you know, Toronto has many great hotels. And a homeless man died that night outside. And then a lot of people were with 8 days without, you know.
Yeah.
Power and heating. And a lot of people got sick. A family did die because they brought in a barbecue to heat their house up.
Oh, no.
Propane gas. They weren't quite knowledgeable around.
Well, also, it's just like, yeah, it's also like the different temperatures and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Heating propane indoors, and then it's like blistering cold outside.
Yeah, it was the gas that killed them.
Mm-hmm.
Whole family, I believe.
That's unfortunate.
But like, that was the closest I think we've had to scenario like that.
Wait, why did Mayor Ford talk about the hotels? Was he suggesting we go to hotels?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, he said if you don't have heating in your home, there's many great hotels in the city.
That's very Marie Antoinette of him. Like, not everyone has access to those things.
Yeah. It was a lot for the city to deal with, too, because it was down power lines, like, all over the entire GTA.
Yeah. So. But there were really nice pictures taken.
Yeah, well,
like,
I remember.
Like, the trees with the icicles.
I remember that. I was like,
they were, like...
I think there's always beauty in a lot of devastation.
Yeah.
It's natural, because even, like, the hurricanes, it's just, like, seeing all those funnel clouds and stuff, it's just, like, really mesmerizing.
Yeah.
But it's just so... terrifying at the
you
same time.
You kind of have to really appreciate nature and its amazing power. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, with going back to the icicles,
yeah.
When the trees became like icicles, a lot of them died afterwards because I guess their roots got like so frozen, and then there was like overtime work for the Parks and Recs people to just like dig out trees and stuff. Yeah. It was a huge thing.
Yeah, but ice storms, they lose power. I mean, I was in the Ottawa ice storm years ago, and then I avoided this one. But I got one ice storm of a century in, but it just, you know, some people had power, some people did not. It was kind of geographical.
How was the ice storm in Ottawa?
It was ridiculous.
You got 40.
I made you go to school, and like, what are you doing? And like, the lights would turn off, and like, guys... come on. Give me something to read by candlelight. I'll go home. But anyway, I was fine. I mean, it was fine for me. I was fine. But again, it was, you know, who knows how long you'll last without power, you know. And you have to, it's the middle of winter in Canada. So, well, I might be fine. There's numerous people. If your heating goes, if your electricity goes, if you don't have those things, or if you don't have those things to begin with and you normally live, but now it's just jolted up to, you know, the nth degree by being an ice storm. Now you have no chance, you know.
Yeah, with the hurricanes, I guess it's something I can't relate to in any way, because it's not like floodings like of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even people living in like Tornado Alley. I mean, even with all these hurricanes, there was tornadoes as well, and earthquakes and tsunamis. It's just like everything can imagine, except for volcanoes. And let's hope that doesn't happen.
Oh, volcanoes are terrifying.
There's
so many active
volcanoes in Toronto.
There's a fault line in Lake Ontario.
There's a what?
A fault line.
What is that?
It means if in the most extreme case, it's possible.
Can finish your sentence. It's possible what?
That it can connect to the surface, but it would most likely release the gases and
there's a like
toxic
underground volcano in the water.
I guess you can call it a volcano. It's a fault line, so it's connected deep down and. But it's all toxic, so if it came up, it would poison. We drink out of the lake.
Ooh.
So.
Why did you have to say that?
But you would have to have, like, a devastating earthquake. And the ones we've
had here
are so
small.
Okay. It's kind of like, oh, did a TTC streetcar drive by?
Right. There were a couple earthquakes around here. I remember one summer, 2010, it was, like, huge in the news and stuff.
Yeah.
I felt nothing.
Yeah, I think I was sitting on the chair that had, like, wheels on it. My room, and it just, like, shifted a bit. I was like, whoa, what was that?
I was writing a test,
that was it.
So everything was quiet, so I fully could concentrate on the earthquake.
Yeah, I think Toronto's the best place to really be away from every natural disaster, but in terms of snowstorms and ice storms, yeah.
I can't even imagine being in those areas. I have traveled to places that are more tropical, and just living there is it's horrendous for me because it's like raining all the time. Oh. And I'm not even living in the hurricane days, right? Just the days where it's just raining. Mm. I don't know how people do it. It's very dreary too. Mm. So
for those who want to know, I also looked up the best foods to stock. Because the thing that I came up with from all of this, no, it's like, what would happen if I was like, I'd probably
pasta,
want
rice, beans.
Beans.
Things that don't expire.
Right, yeah.
That's my list.
So, there's foods that can last 2 to 5 years.
Ooh.
Canned tuna, meats and fruits and vegetables, peanut
like
butter.
Dried.
They use the Oxford comma. They just use canned tuna, comma, meats, comma, fruits and vegetables.
Because fruits and vegetables
it may mean just fruits and vegetables.
5 years.
I don't think so. I think it has to be canned.
Or like
jellied.
Oh, okay, canned. Okay. Like I was thinking like dried fruits or something. Mm. Okay.
Why did you buy all these avocados for the snowstorm?
It'll last those 5 years.
peanut butter is one. Ramen noodles or cup noodles. Tea and coffee stay forever.
Oh.
I've shipped those across the earth. Powdered milk. Can you even get powdered milk? Sounds like something from the war. I've only ever heard that in reference to war or like.
I had it when camping.
What is powdered milk? Is it real milk or just like some substance that tastes like milk?
I believe it is real and it's powdered down and then you bring it with water and it doesn't look, it's not.
So it's basically milk and then it was chemicalized to some point where the liquid was taken out. So the rest was just the remnants of the milk.
Let's find out. Powdered milk, how is it made? Milk. How to make at home.
I imagine it's like a raisin. You dry up the grape?
Start by mixing the dry milk with cold water. You can follow the instructions on the package. What?
It's just telling you how to make dried milk.
Can't you just let it evaporate in the sun?
What else? What else is good? What else is good?
Crystals.
Powdered, coconut oil and olive oil.
Oh, gotta drink that.
Dried herbs and spices. Instant potatoes.
Instant potatoes? Oh, dry potatoes?
It just says instant.
Okay.
I've never known potatoes in a bag, but I buy
those those dry potatoes, and then you put milk and then garlic and stuff.
Okay. Unsweetened chocolate. Most fruit juices will last 2 to 5. What?
It depends on what kind of packaging.
Five
I think
years?
When those Tetra boxes, Tetra packs, like those juice boxes, mm-hmm. they're designed in a way that they preserve it a lot longer.
And then food that lasts 5 to 10 years is pasta, white rice. dehydrated fruit will last 5 years.
Wow.
There's a science experiment to not tell your parents about kids. Just leave pears in the... and when you move...
I've actually had sun-dried mango.
Oh, they're delicious.
Yeah, it's like candy.
Yeah, they are.
It's really good.
It's amazing. I could definitely survive a natural disaster if I just had dried mangoes.
I think you'd get scurvy or something. Anyway, barley, rolled oats, quinoa, rye, ready-to-eat meals, which that's more work than actually
I've already chosen my hurricane meals. It's going to be ramen and mangoes, dried mangoes.
Tropical themed meal for a tropical themed disaster.
Exactly.
And then beans, mung beans, pinto beans, lima.
Oh, nuts. Those
kidney
those
beans.
Last forever, right?
Garbanzo?
Garbanzo. Beans?
Garbanzo.
Yeah.
Do you even know what those are? You're just yelling garbanzo. And then lentils. And then the foods that last forever?
Peanut.
I think it goes under lentils. Lentils? I think lentils.
Lentils, they're like those tiny green beans.
Oh.
They're like, those tiny ones. And they're flat. They're a little flat. And they're round.
Hmm.
And then hard liquor.
Hard liquor lasts forever?
A survival. Actually,
it's in every movie.
That's true.
So hard liquor
an action hero has to survive an apocalypse.
I need to establish facts. Hard liquor lasts forever?
They say so. In actual truth, it actually will evaporate over time.
Yes.
But or a portion of it will evaporate if you leave a bottle open.
Right.
Because aren't there people that like to dive and look for old wine?
You should just Oh, well, right.
Yeah, because wine lasts 6 months-ish, 6 to 12 months, and then it goes bad because it's grapes. And then, like, Bailey's and stuff turns because it's, you know, eggs and dairy. And then hard liquor because it's just basically pure alcohol. It won't freeze, but it
also... Vodka.
Vodka will be, yeah, fine. Just parts of it will evaporate and will get less good if you leave it open to the air, but... Anyway, you can't sustain yourself. You should probably get something else. Honey lasts, I think, forever because it just crystallizes and then it can be redone. I think people ate the pyramid honey, which really?
What's pyramid honey?
You know when you go to the pyramids and you like, they found honey and they ate it.
That's
which
gross.
Is really, really, really risky.
Did it taste like honey?
I don't know. I was not there and I would not have partaken, but apparently it probably, yeah, because it just melts, it just crystallizes. It's the only food that doesn't go bad.
So is it just like a, do they just eat like a crystal then?
I would imagine.
Like a sugary crystal?
Have you ever eaten a honeycomb before?
No.
Not the cereal.
Like the wax?
So good.
Like a wax?
No, the actual like the honeycomb.
I've heard of it. It's like a beekeeper's lunch, but I've never eaten it.
A beekeeper's lunch?
Imagine how much those are now.
What's going on?
Like it's a honeycomb. It's like part of the beehive.
Uh-huh.
It tastes amazing.
You eat the whole thing?
No. It's like the little hexagonal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can eat that.
So you eat the insides, right? Because the hexagon is
wax. No, you eat the hexagon.
Wax.
No, not the wax. No. It's good. Okay.
Really? So yeah. it's like extra ultra honey?
Yeah, it's like eating like honey pretty much.
Oh, okay. Where do we get one of these?
I don't know if you can now.
You gotta prepare for the hurricane.
The bees are now artificially, like, they're not in their own natural
habitat.
Yeah, they don't.
What? But isn't that every place? Bees fly everywhere. They're just in the air. Like,
there's not many of them left.
That's because their natural habitats have been destroyed.
Yeah, like you don't see beehives. You see wasps' nests, not beehives anymore.
Salt lasts forever. Soy sauce. Sugar, white vinegar, and maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
I always thought maple syrup lasts 3 years.
Oh.
Maple syrup.
It's unopened. I think it's also what they're referring to. If you open it, then you're kind of like in God's hands. But if you like leave it in the can,
in the hands of God.
Ramen noodles, mangoes, dried mangoes,
honeycombs,
specified
maple syrup, and vodka.
And vodka. Yeah.
We should do this.
If you want
we should make a survival potluck and see if we can make a meal out of dried mango. Vodka, like use a vodka as a flambe, I guess, and then make
a
honeycomb.
It's like zombie apocalypse. It's happening, so got stuck up.
But yeah, seeing that footage of Miami with all the water on the streets, it's like 15 stories.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and there was
feet.
One video that you saw with the building that collapsed.
Yeah.
It was like a high-rise building, too.
Yeah.
And collapsed under the weight of the water. That's like
it's crazy
terrifying.
What's happening over there. And if you're stuck in one of those buildings, let's hope you stocked up. Cause
yeah, with your dried mangoes and ramen, that'd be really.
That's actually really scary to think about.
What?
Because you don't know when everything's gonna
come back.
Tide out.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, people were filming like the ocean, how the floor was exposed.
You know what? I wonder though, the people who stay behind, why did they stay behind? Is it because they have no way to escape? Or
they were being interviewed by the media around that sort of thing, and just people really wanted to protect their property and their everything they own, and they didn't want to.
Didn't want to let it go.
They want to take the risk, and
But
I think that was very.
Yeah, it's
not
just
the
like,
best idea, but some people, again, we talked about before, don't have those options.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, maybe just cap
I'm
off.
Not attached to anything, so I'd run. I'd run with my dried mangoes.
I think you're supposed to run from a hurricane. For the most terrifying thing you ever do in your life is run from a hurricane.
There's people out there that are always prepared. They got their
buses
underground.
Right, and they have those mantras they say to themselves. Be like, go get prepared. Apocalypse is coming.
Yeah.
Happening every time.
Yeah, they're ready. And you know, those are
rifles,
the ones who will survive. They'll be the
bomb
future
shelters,
of our race.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be very hopeful about the future then.
Yeah.
Those guys are a little too intense.
Bearing buses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't a secret passage. I always thought that like Reagan would have like a secret nuclear war bunker. Like if it's the 50,
like underground one,
because it's the Florida and like it's old people, and old people would probably be.
There is one in
down with nuclear war preparation.
Denver Airport.
Denver Airport.
Yeah, underground there's a vault, but it's like and there's security working there now, which is like
to like protect what the vodka and dried mangoes.
No, but they have their own.
Why would they not be protecting it? Like, you can't have people just sneaking around. They're probably 24/7.
They have greenhouses under there.
Why?
Well, they're for a case like anything more serious than this happens,
like nuclear. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, well, 185. So I'll just drop off some of the records that are.
Yeah.
Irma Brent went through, just so people know. 185 mile per hour lifetime, but max wind. So it's the strongest storm to exist in the Atlantic Ocean outside of the Caribbean and Gulf of Mexico on record. Hurricane Allen in 1980 had 190 winds. 190 mile per hour winds.
So how long is this hurricane going to last?
We have no idea. They had 185 mile per hour winds for 37 hours. And the most on record was Typhoon Haiyan, which had it for 24 hours.
Mm. I always felt like hurricanes and things last like a couple hours and they go away. But this has been going on for like a week.
I know.
Mm.
I've never heard of anything like this before.
It's the first Category 5 hurricane to hit the Bahamas since 92.
Do we know what causes a hurricane?
Warm weather.
There's a magical element.
Do you remember what happened? You know, I was staring at the eclipse. No, I wasn't staring at the eclipse.
And that caused
I became blind. And then I applied for disability.
I was thinking, like, don't animals and the environment get affected by the eclipse ever? And look what happened after.
What
are you talking about?
The tides are controlled by the moon.
Right. No, that's a good point.
I was thinking to myself, I can create my own conspiracy here.
No, but then, I mean, everything's kind of connected, right?
I think so.
When it comes to natural elements and stuff.
This is a pretty good defense point for the climate change overall, though. Because, you know, there has been more extreme, like, I don't know if you've seen the footage of the icebergs and over in the north. Just melting and the bridges falling apart. The ice bridges.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
The earth is getting warm.
No, and the only real defense people have is, well, how do you know what the temperature was back in the... And, like, you carbon date it. You get the older ice, which has been there undisturbed for however, because no one lives there, and you pick it up, and then you take the elements out, and you see what it is. You know, with science, but...
Yeah.
If anything can come out of this, maybe people will start taking climate change a bit more seriously.
Like, I'm surprised. Remember when the year 2000 was going to be a big deal? And they're like, oh, where's the flying cars and all this? Now it's 2017. I had to think about it. I was like, and we're still running on gas-powered, fossil-fueled cars that look like something out of the 80s still.
If we were like...
like, what has happened?
If Earth was like a student in the galaxy, we'd probably be like those fail students. Those students that sit in the back of the class. We never like meet the expectations.
Well, Tesla's doing good work.
Yeah,
the home
but he's kind of like intense though. But I imagine
Tesla like Nick.
Yeah, no, not that guy. The creator. What's his name? what's the guy's name?
I don't remember his name. The CEO.
I think it starts with M. I don't know. He's actually a Canadian.
I didn't know that.
I think he was born in South Africa. His dad's South African, but his mother's Canadian. So he came here. While you're Googling, I'll tell this interesting, trivial information about him. So he came here as a Canadian citizen because his mom is Canadian. So he is Canadian. So he came here to study at Queen's University. And then he dropped out in order to follow the whole internet boom. And then I think he was the first creator of PayPal.
Oh.
Yeah. I read his biography, but yet I don't know his name.
Oh, is it Elon?
Yeah, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, right.
Yes, Elon Musk. Yeah, that's
him. I really appreciate people like that. Then don't just think innovatively, but they think about the environment and also the economics too. I mean, those cars are quite expensive, but I think in Ontario or in Canada, certain provinces give you like a tax
reduction
or something, a rebate. They're not, you know, gas power, I guess, is best in the winter and things like that. So,
and I think he also just released the information to create all the technology around his company.
That's a big
deal. It's like I can't find the words around it. So it's all like open data, open source. But he only
he's like Nick Tesla, the real Tesla. He wanted to give everyone the death beam weapon.
I remember
it not like in history, but like
no, he just wanted to do that because
I wasn't alive. I mean, I've heard there's all these rumors about Tesla. There's all these rumors about him.
He believed every country deserved the rights to defend themselves, so everyone should equally be given
the nuclear weapons.
This,
it made sense, but it was like in a very tense way.
But like, do we all need
well, I mean, weapons? Elon Musk isn't giving us nuclear power. He's giving us like power, solar power. So he's just encouraging
electric
people.
Power.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, electric power, solar power, all that kind
battery
of stuff.
Power.
Because he doesn't want to have the monopoly over it. He wants everyone to have some kind of...
I think me and Tyrone had the same thought in our heads, which is somebody loading batteries into a death ray. And like...
Oh, no.
It's not charging, you know. And like poorer countries getting screwed over once again because they can't afford batteries. Anyway... No, but your point was probably a better way to end off, which is Elon Musk doing good climate change.
Elon Musk is the savior of our time. That's
I think so. It's always those type of people that are very innovative.
And he's half Canadian, caring. So there you go.
Anyway, I think we'll come back after a song, and then, yeah. Stay tuned. I'm going to be interviewed.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. But in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Welcome back to Catch the Flavor Youth Radio here on Radio Regent. For the second half, we're going to be talking to Judd. Judd has been with Catch the Flavor for about 3 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, official records are sketchy, but at least since 2014. So, yeah, about three years.
Nobody needs to know that. But you are leaving us. You're going to China.
You said
China. No one needs to know where I'm actually leaving. No one needs to know where I'm actually going to. But yeah, I'm moving away.
He's moving away. So he's going to leave us. So we want to talk about your experience. So how has it been?
How did you get involved?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How did I get involved?
Sorry if I just cut out.
No, that's a good question. I think somebody just, how did that happen again? All right, yeah. Somebody found the, was in the email chain, right, for like volunteers for Regent Park in general, and that had come up.
Were you in the area?
Did
you live in the area?
No. Done lifeguarding for some of the camps, right? Members of the family had done lifeguarding for some of the camps.
Okay.
Whatever. And they came across that, sent it to me because I was just finishing, I'd done broadcasting school.
Right.
And something else. And then, Yeah, I came down here and just talked to people, and that's how I got involved. It's an exhilarating story. I found you targeted.
So you came here just to get some experience after school, right?
Well, yeah, just to keep going, because I did do radio broadcasting at Humber, and I did do stuff. I was doing stuff down at the time, down at, what's that school, Ryerson. And I was doing the news. I was doing their Monday news board teching, and I just wanted to do more talking on the radio. And so Mitch gave me that opportunity.
So how did you decide to get into radio broadcasting?
In the first place?
Yeah.
It's a great question. It's a really good question, because I don't, like, I try to think back. Like, I know when I decided to make an attempt at it was just at the end of teaching. I had just done my teaching of English degree and was about to head off, and then I was thinking, what do I want to actually do? And people had always said, well, you should maybe try radio, you should maybe try radio, and I just thought,
why? Why did they say that? Like, you have a radio voice or
that
something?
That part of it.
Were you doing, like, streaming or?
Was I doing streaming at the time?
Or, like, podcasting?
Was I doing podcasting at the time? No, no, this was before, before all of that. Yeah, and then I think it was it. I've always been into radio. Always, I could, you know, if you just put it on drive and or you, or it allows you to do stuff while you're doing other stuff. Like if I want to watch a movie, I have to go watch the city movie. I can put on a podcast in like a corner of YouTube and then go and, you know, do a graph or calculate something or
it's something
or
that
organize.
Helps you be multitasking, right?
Exactly. So. And I said, oh, I'll take a try. That'd be fun to be a radio person. Also, I think the notion was you're not like an entertainer. Like you don't have to make a goofy movie every week or come up with like crazy ideas or be like, you know, subservient of, you know, some company. You know what I mean? You just be yourself and talk and you can exchange ideas. And the other point was you don't have to move in theory. Like you stay in a place and you're reasonably – you can have an influence and affect change and, you know, be successful. But you don't have to be that guy who, you know, everybody knows on blank.
Right.
You're you know, you basically get, it basically is like the job of an entertainer if it were like a normal person job.
But if that were the case, why wouldn't you consider like, I don't know, writing? Because that's even that's even more faceless.
I'm not a good writer.
Oh,
but that, if it were, that's a good idea.
Okay, so you have found your happy medium with radio.
Yeah, that's so, yeah. And
so how long was this radio program?
I think 2 years, yeah. Down at Humber.
North Campus?
I think so. It's all far away, but it's all so far away. I can't think it was in North Campus. Yeah, I think so.
So how was your experience at
I'd recommend it. I think I'd recommend a radio region. Or, okay, yeah.
Oh, who cares about Humber now? No. We're moving on.
Moving on, all right. Radio Region was a good experience. People here have been very cool, and I've managed to find new people, talk to different people, people I would not have talked, spoken to, had I not been here that day.
Oh, what you was know, a, so. What was a standout interview for you?
That's what I was going to ask, actually.
Yeah.
Because we got to meet, you know, Sean Ward, the YouTuber.
Yeah, that was.
There was a lot of other people.
Yeah, it depends what you mean, because there's,
yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a
especially
lot.
For 3 years, right?
Yeah.
A lot of social justice themed kind of.
Because you took, there was never really one where I didn't take something from it. You know what I'm saying? Like where it wasn't like, well, that was pretty impressive. I mean, that I can think of. Because like Sean Ward was interesting. Like how do you do radio, how do you do YouTube and stuff? And that's a different vibe. But then you have the e-cigarette people. And then was it? We interviewed Glenn Murray, the MPP, right? Which is probably the biggest name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a big fan of the interview itself. I'm very self-critical, and I look back and I'm like, oh, gross. But I tried listening back to prepare for this show, but I couldn't really, you know, do it. But yeah, you know, I think that was probably it. Or who else was there? What was it? There was. Hang on.
A lot of environmentalists.
Because there's quotes. Things that stand out are like specific quotes from interviews, not really.
Okay, so tell us about
I'm trying to,
the
now
quotes.
I'm, yeah, I know you were going to ask that, which is why I have to think. What was it? Holy Moses. Tyrone, help me out here.
Holy Moses?
So we never interviewed Moses. No.
I'm
just trying to go back.
There's a lot of anti-violence groups, a lot of environmentalist groups, people talking about mental health, workplace injuries.
That was fun. Yeah, was yeah.
I mean,
workplace
if I
injury
could just
one.
Say one bit about mine, that was the most toughest one to do because the guy, I didn't even know, he is the, and I don't want to get this wrong, he's the Minister of Labor. Kevin Flynn?
Kevin Flynn? I know. Are you talking about that one? Or
Well, that one I was just saying because it was difficult because he had opened up about his own son.
Right, while
we were on the radio.
Yes, it's Kevin Flynn.
Yeah, so he talked. We were talking about just, you know, anything, the dangers of the workplace, and he opened up about that he started this whole thing because of his son had passed at the workplace. And
Was it Kevin Flynn or somebody?
Ministry of Labor. Yeah, Kevin Flynn is the Minister of Labor.
And we've did many afterwards with the same.
Was it Kevin Flynn or was it? No, it was the Workplace Safety Board or somebody.
What was so intense about that show?
Well, it was just the detail. Then there was someone else there giving detail about what happened with them. And it's just like these things happen every day at workplaces. And you don't
so
think
what
about
did
it too
happen?
Much. I won't disclose that, but it is on our archives.
It's in our archives, guys. Check it out.
That was many of a long series about, learning about the labor laws, and we've done so many shows about different organizations.
Yeah, and just different things you learn. Because they're coming back now, as you mentioned them, like the one where we did the guy who was, who did drugs, and you're like, well, you know, and he's like, well, the price, you know, people say, well, is the price too low for pharmacare and all that stuff? He's like, well, in a way, yes, but if you compare to what I used to blow through when I was doing, like, illegal drugs, it doesn't even compare. Like, you could sink a, you know, month's paycheck and whatever it was, whereas if you're getting it steadily at the same amount, you know, like, the economics of it, I never considered it that
way.
Oh,
so what was that topic about?
Oh, it was just about, like schizophrenia, mental health, that kind of vibe. And we mentioned that, you know, he'd...
So who was he? Was he...
I was just an advocate who, I believe he had mental illness in his family. And right. he had been...
drug addiction history?
Drug, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he mentioned that, because I was like, is it too expensive? And he goes, well, compared to what he used to spend on street drugs. And that always stuck with me. Other things. We have the stuff where we discussed racially motivated violence. When I think back to like what really opens some eyes is every single person of color has a story. Mm-hmm. Had a story of minding their own business and the cops doing something.
Yeah, even for me, I mean, sorry, like, we were interviewing like someone who's like in their 50s and they're telling this story of what happened to them as a kid with cops. And then someone 18 with the same stories.
Yeah.
It's like... something we would never probably experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, having Mike and having that generation in the studio at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that was a really good show.
And was it Vince with his like political facts and stuff? Yeah, that was a good
some of the best
discussions.
He was American too, so he came from and from Texas.
Who's Vince?
And he was Guyanese, so he had.
Yeah, but just these people you wouldn't hear on the radio, but like, where do you come from? Like, all the corners of the globe, in some respect, you know, raised by a cop. Like, he's sort of like, what's this quilt of perspective? Yeah, yeah. Versus, you know, I don't know, I'm Jerry the sportscaster, and like,
God, Jerry.
No, who's Jerry? I just made that name up. Who's Jerry?
For that, okay, well,
what was that about?
Never mind, forget it.
You were here.
I am. Hits the ancient scrolls, and Tyrone tells me a terrifying story. Bob Africa was a big one. What else did we do? We also had Stephanie on, I think, once.
What's like one of the biggest lessons on radio for you?
Lessons learned from being
on Radio Regent, like to hone your skills.
Oh, as a radio host.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because a lot of that stuff was stuff I'd already learned earlier or knew before, which was. You know, prep ahead of time, talk like you're talking to one person or try to, which is a bit different. You know, try to find the angle that interests the audience. But I guess just listening. The only thing really is just have questions prepared and be ready and just timing it up. It's practice. Like you can talk to these people all day. Just get to the main points and then, you know, who, what, when, where, why is this important? And maybe hit the change moment. Like, always ask them, when did you decide to do this? Or what made you decide? Or when did you first realize this? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of get the start of a story and kind of work backwards from there. That's probably it.
Cool. What other topics did you cover?
What
were, like, the standout topics for you?
2 months of Rob Ford.
That was great.
2 months of Rob
That was great. That was great. No, that was great because I was actually campaigning at the same
time. You guys really just talk about Rob
Ford? I was in the Tory campaign. So, like, again, I could come back with, like, insider stuff. But and I didn't really, like, disclose anything that bad. But, you know, just personal, like, having encountered Doug Ford. right? And just gone for pancakes. I'm like, okay, I'm definitely going for pancakes.
There was someone here who's a daughter. No, someone here that who's. Best friend was Doug Ford's daughter.
Yeah, Brittany. Yeah, she was good.
And I remember we had to, we're like, okay, so let's not go full.
Well, we try to be balanced anyway.
Yeah, we try to balance anyways.
Yeah.
I think that's what, one thing about Catch the Flavor that's really important is even though it's coming out of a non-for-profit, you have to always have that voice in the background kind of correcting you when you're going too far.
Yeah, I bet you the thing, because it's such a, we're so left.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep it in the middle. That was one part.
For sure. And a lot of our shows have been very political, I think.
True at the time, but it was important, I found.
Yeah.
And what else happened? Kathleen, we talked about that. We talked about Trump as well. That was a long time. There's literally archives of us explaining how he will never, ever win.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'm
in the background going, you guys are wrong. I got to listen to it again and see.
I don't know. I think it was just.
But even things that never made the radio, I think, were part of it. Like Tyrone's thing of never wear a hoodie downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
If you don't want to discuss it here, but.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't want to, you can.
Oh, very quick. It was just learning about how do people not really assign you to a certain region. You know, like growing up in Regent Park, everyone was kind of labeled they were from Regent Park.
And yeah.
I realized once I started wearing like plaid shirts, everyone treated me normal.
Oh.
No one asked where I was from anymore.
So if you wore a
neighborhood
hoodie,
I was from.
If you wore a hoodie, then they would?
Yeah.
But hoodies are so comfortable.
Yeah, but it was like a certain time during, you know, during
Central. The dark times.
No, it's just, the teachers are really rough on certain students from mm-hmm. certain areas.
Right.
And I realized once I was wearing plaid, it was just like no one asked, no one assumed, and people became more friendly.
Oh.
And that was that. Yeah.
That is a shame, because hoodies are very comfortable.
I still wear hoodies now.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of addicted to the plaid. I don't know what happened.
I actually haven't seen you without plaid since 3 years going on now.
Yeah,
I also have another question. What made you stay? You know, sometimes people just come in and out and stuff.
Oh, good question. I actually have a list here.
How many people
Sheila, Trayvon, Vince... Mike, Silent Mike, Janet, Lily, Kaylin, Stephanie, Baba Africa, Brittany, Amrit, Harjeev, Alex, Tyrone, Maisha, Shalina, Shalana, Sarah, Suresh, Liz, Tiffany, and Lola, and Judy, and then Isaac, and that's all I got to.
There's probably
way more, but I'm forgetting, yeah.
What's this Silent Mike?
Silent Mike was
Why was he on radio if he was silent?
He would say no. What would happen? I forgot. We should have. Yeah, Silent Mike would.
Was he the tech guy?
No, kind of. I think I tried to make him a tech guy, but
because he was silent.
Yeah, but no, he wouldn't. He would. What would happen is he would sit here and he would listen the entire, and then at the very end, like the clouds would part, and he'd say one really brilliant, like like crystallizing idea, and like, all right, so you're Silent Mike.
So he should be like Saint Mike.
Maybe. Yeah, was the one thing you mentioned. He was like, you don't actually have to get a gym membership if you just bicycle to a far enough away gym and then bicycle back home. That counts as working out. That's like a money saving tip. I forgot about that. That's also a good one.
You could always just bike.
Yeah.
You could always just bike. But what's interesting about Catch the Flavor in general, the show, is it's not a show that has consistent hosts.
Right.
And it's, by the way, this show is as old as like the early 90s.
Yeah.
Like, it's old.
Yeah.
Originally it was called RP Plus, uh-huh. And then it became Catch the Flavor. And even that name just sounds very 80s.
Catch the Flavor? 80s. Yes, yes.
Because it's like Flava, like
right.
Flava Flav.
And then the spelling of it too, right?
It's weird.
Hey, Judd, if you had an idea for a new name... a title for this show, what would it be? That was more like up to date.
You're always saying Catch the Flavor.
I always said I started doing Catch the Flavor. I started doing Catch the Flavor.
It sounds like some like communicable disease or something.
But it's always been this kind of floating show that's had. It was on FM radio for a period of time too.
Yeah.
It was the only show on CKLN that was still broadcasting on the internet when CKLN went down, and then
which in turn was when I found out about this because I was covering the CKLN. Yeah, now I'm getting it back.
Yeah, you came right at the beginning of the Radio Regent stuff, so right as we were growing. But you're probably the most consistent I'm excluding myself. I like go on once every 3 months, but.
So why did you stay?
Why did I say?
Yeah.
It's a hard question. No, there's no real push reasons not to, because there were periods when I'd get like a job and it would prevent me from coming down here. But most of the time, for whatever reason, my employments were allowing, went like Tuesdays off or whatever. And that was it. And I just kept coming back because I felt it made my skills sharper. Mm-hmm. I was able to do it. If I do it once a week, that's better than no times a week. And you meet people, you learn things, you find out new stuff, and it's direct and it's immediate and it's reflective of real life. It's not, you know, let's see how many ping pong balls we can – not that I don't like radio like that, that's goofy and wacky and just for entertainment, but I found you would, like, legit learn life things from here and take it on with you.
So is this kind of what you envisioned when you did radio broadcasting?
No. I imagined I'd be like some guy with like, you know, sunglasses and a Hawaiian shirt and like hitting goofy sound effects. And
well, you could still do
that. I could still do that. But
I wanted to do one on like Coast to Coast, you know, like talking about
we should have. I made a soundboard once. We never
Ghosts and Aliens?
When I first joined, by the way, I joined a long time ago.
When did you join?
Year? 2004.
Oh. So you wanted to do a show about
ghosts?
But
honestly, it's because of Judd that I actually still do the radio. I would have left a long time ago.
What, really?
Yeah, when you were coming on and everyone would kind of, you know, jump on board too, or else it would have just been all just youth programs specifically tied to the radio.
Oh, okay.
It was that kind of open mic dialogue we had with young adults, right? So
I had no idea.
It's fun. It's exciting.
Yeah, so you have to make sure this continues. Yeah.
What's the favorite topics for you to cover, like to suggest?
It depends on the day. It's usually news, but that's probably it. Yeah, just news and then political dialogue and then social justice stuff. How do you think we should solve X or Y, or what do you think needs to be done about such and such? That's probably it. Or because I'm going back now and I'm thinking through all of them. They're all individual stories. They don't like you don't necessarily sync up other than the it's probably the mayoral part. That was probably the mayoral highlight when we were hitting those shows every week and the Vince ones when we were doing Trump, just because Vince had so much info. That's probably my favorite one, just in, you know, as like a box set to collect. but no, I'm really very – there's stuff I like just because I'm proud to say I interviewed MPP Glenn Murray, but then there's other stuff from like that quotation of Silent Mike where he mentions, you know, whatever it was. Or Mayor or whatever Mayor is, talks about like the traffic in Bangladesh, you know, cows and stuff, and it's just random quotations that come out.
Remember one time you called in?
Oh yeah, from the lake. Oh yeah, from the lake. I called in from the lake. I was.
Oh, Judd can't make it, and all of a sudden, ring.
So you called in to host?
Yeah,
wow,
I called in.
Dedication.
Of course, no, it was because we were doing what was it? I was lifeguarding. It was the program that originally made me aware of this program in the first place because they'd call me back every summer and be like, "Yeah, we need someone to lifeguard," and I'm like, "All right," but then I was like, "Off the show," so I called back in and talked to you. I mean, it's probably just like getting a rhythm, enjoy it. It was good. It was different guests, new people. Who was the one we interviewed? Just recently we interviewed somebody, and I can't remember who it was.
The guy who created the maps about pot.
Oh, that, pot that was it. Yeah, that one. That was really interesting. And the people who did the Regent Park
Taste of Regent
Park? Yeah, Regent Park, Taste of Regent Park, just cool things like that. Was the snake train, was on the bus that had snakes in it? Don't you remember that one? Someone had some goofy art installation. Like even that, probably the artist. Probably those are my favorite. When you interviewed random artists who had these really crazy out there ideas, those were probably more entertaining things.
So what are you going to do moving forward? Are you going to continue doing radio? Are you going to come back?
I'll come back.
Once a month, maybe.
Maybe once a month. I'll call in.
You should
call in
and host.
I'll do it. Maybe the first week.
Technology has...
Because how can you miss me if I don't go away? So at least the first week. First week I won't be here, but then maybe... It depends how bored I get.
We'll give you the remote access so that you can just access the computer and do the phone call.
We have that. No, I'll... No.
You should just call in.
I'll call in. Don't worry.
Then we won't miss you at all.
Yeah, you were mentioning something about maybe getting into
a YouTube channel. Yeah, I'm going to.
That's a great idea.
What's your YouTube?
It's going to be how to cook. With a pot.
Cooking with Judd?
With one pot.
Oh, because you got to learn how to do the survival.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
survival
zombie
potluck.
Apocalypse.
Cooking, yeah. No, just cut. Just
I would definitely watch that, yeah. Just to let you know.
Okay, well, that's good. Survival. So we're doing that.
I need to know how to dry mangoes. Because, I mean, I bite them, but if you could teach me how to dry them, that would be great.
All right, that's the first episode, how to dry mangoes. I'll actually do that.
I mean, that would be a very long video process. But
we don't know. Maybe it's
it.
Really fast. We haven't done it yet.
Mm. You would definitely become a YouTube star from that. Like all the hurricane food. Hurricane Foods with Jed. That should be your YouTube name.
Hurricane Foods with Jed. That's too long a name. Can't type that all in there. You'll get Hurricane Jones, Hurricane Steve.
Hurricane Jed?
Hurricane Jed. No, it's too soon, man. I can't have that
like
in
a
name.
Wrestler.
Also, it sounds like a wrestler. Mascara.
Oh
Mascara. El Teclono.
I remember there was talks of a wrestling show.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks worth of talks. Like, it was a big development.
All right. I think we're out of time. Thank you so much, Jed, for your service.
Definitely.
3 years.
You're very welcome.
And please come back. Please call us and co-host.
I will. And thank everyone who ever listened and ever caught in or ever even texted me a suggestion or whatever. It means a lot.
It'd be good to actually hear from you guys.
Right.
Yeah. And anyone ever co-host the show
or
guests.
Like us on Radio Regent. We're verified now.
Or we actually sweet.
Radio Regent on Facebook. What's the Facebook? Facebook.com/Radio Regent.
Radio Regent.
What about Twitter? Twitter.
Radio Regent. Well, actually, Radio _ Regent.
Okay, Radio _ Regent. So that's how you find us on
Instagram,
social media.
It's Radio Regent Live. I don't know why there's three different
Radio
ones.
Radio Regent Live. Sometimes it's hard to consolidate names, but what can you do? But anyways, thank you for listening to this edition of Catch the Flavor Youth Radio here on Radio Regent. Catch us next week. Same time. Are we back next week?
Yeah, the program started.
Perfect.
Again.
We're back next week.
And I guess one final time.
And Judd will be calling in.
One final time. We'll do that. Thank you for listening. And they'll catch you next week. And I'll see you sometime down the road.
And we're going to end off with Judd's favorite song.
This is a joke from Judy.
No, it's
a favorite song.